Let's get our Bibles out and let's go to the book of John chapter 7. And I want to do some ministering from the word of the Lord this morning. Very simple message, but oftentimes that which is simple is sometimes overlooked. And one thing that we don't want to do is overlook the word of God, the most important things. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Everybody said rivers. Rivers of living water. Verse 39, "But this spake he of the Spirit," or if you want to say it, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, "but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Praise the Lord. I just want to preach a little while here this morning, if you will help me. And I want to preach, "You need and I need the Holy Ghost." We need the Holy Ghost. And I want to talk about what it means to have the Holy Ghost. And we want to be filled with God's Spirit so that we don't walk after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit so that we can hear him say, "Well done." "If the Spirit that raised up Christ be in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit." We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you for your presence that we feel here today. Anoint the word of God. Touch us in Jesus' name, we pray this morning. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 13, the apostle is writing to the Corinthians, and he said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made, all made to drink into one Spirit." The early church understood what it meant to have the Holy Ghost because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. But he said, "For by one Spirit," and let me just say this morning, there is only one Holy Ghost. There's not two or three Holy Ghosts. There's not several avenues to get to God, but there is one Holy Spirit. And I want to go a little bit deeper into this here. Because when we look at God, we can see from Scripture that God is a spirit. And so the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is God. It is God. It is the nature of God. John chapter 4 and verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen. And so this morning, God is a spirit. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 gives us a little bit of a clearer understanding. Colossians 1 and 15, you can write these down and look at them when you get home if I go too fast here. But I've got some ground to cover this morning. Colossians 1 and 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature," speaking of Jesus Christ, "that he is the image," or he is the exact copy. Amen. And we'll get into that as well. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 17, the apostle is writing to this young preacher, Timothy, and he says, "Now unto the King eternal immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we can see from just these few scriptures, and there are many others as well, but we can see from these scriptures that God is invisible. We cannot see God. No man has ever seen God. Moses got to see the backside of God. There were theophanies or manifestations of God. But when it all comes down to it this morning, God is invisible. Amen. God is invisible. And there are many that feel that God cannot be seen or experienced or prove of his existence because he is invisible. And, you know, I think that's kind of funny when you think about that because air is invisible. Amen. But this room is full of air, and we can prove that, and we know that that is right, even though it is invisible. But many today use that excuse or that argument that God cannot be known because or found because God is an invisible God. And if he is invisible, how can we know that God is real? How can we know that God exists? And these are all very important questions, and there is an answer to this question this morning. Being invisible, God has chosen to reveal himself in that which is visible or tangible. Amen. And the first can be found in the incarnation, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, where God robed himself in flesh and manifested, or we could see him. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, or God was seen in the flesh. The invisible God made himself visible and tangible. Amen. They could touch him. They could speak to him. Oh, what a glorious season we're in right now. Amen. And we sing the songs, but many don't even understand the words to the song. We sing about Emmanuel, but most folks don't know what Emmanuel means. Amen. It means God is with us. Praise God. And when they looked at that little baby in the manger, they could say God came down and robed himself in flesh. And he didn't do it just so that he could talk to us, although that's a part of it. He did it so that he could redeem us from our sins and show us how much he really loves us and how much he wants to bless our lives. Amen. And first one here is the incarnation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. And I'll give you a chance to write that down or to get to it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19, to wit that God, everybody said God. Now God is a spirit, God is invisible. But God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, the first part of that scripture is very awesome, that God was in Christ. Amen. And God, or the Father, and if you go to Matthew chapter 1, when the angel came and spoke to Joseph, the angel said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost, when we talk about God, and I don't want to get off the trail here this morning, but when we talk about God, God is holy. God is a spirit. We've already looked at that this morning. We understand that. God is holy. God is a spirit. Holy Spirit is not a name, or Holy Ghost is not a name. It is a title of God. Amen. It is one of the things that God fulfills in this world, one of the things that he reveals himself to us. And so the child that was born, and we're getting ready to celebrate that season, and we put up trees and give each other gifts and all of that, but we need to remember and understand what it's really all about. It's all about the birth of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't just the birth of a baby, it was God manifesting himself to this world. Praise God. And Jesus was a man. He was born of a woman. And that's why the scripture says that he was the Son of Man. But on the father's side, scripture says that his father was God. Amen. We can say it that simply here this morning, that he was the Son of God. And so he had the DNA of humanity. And if you please, he had the DNA of divinity. Praise God. He was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Word of God. It was the spoken Word of God that conceived that child in Mary. And the child that was born was called, and later in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, he is called the Word of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I can really get off and get going on this here this morning. But John chapter 1 talks about it. And it talks about what happened. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so all things were created by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. It was by the Word of God that everything was created. And it was by the Word of God that Jesus Christ was conceived in Mary, so that the child that was born would be the Son of God and the Son of Man. Amen. He was in the fullness of God. And it says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And so Jesus Christ was not, the Holy Ghost was not one God inside of another God. But God was in Christ, God in his fullness. The Bible tells us that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ. Jesus was not one of two eternal gods, because Jesus Christ was not eternal. Amen. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by that? What I mean, some say that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, that that's speaking of Jesus Christ. The only way that it's speaking of Jesus Christ is in the plan of God. In the beginning was the Word, or if you please this morning, in the beginning was the plan. In the beginning was the Word of God. God had this planned out ahead of time. And the Word in verse 14, John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. And Jesus then became the only begotten Son of God. And Scripture tells us here that he was conceived in Mary. Conception speaks of a point in time. The only begotten Son of God. The word begat or begotten, you can go back in, if you don't know what that means, you can go back to 1st and 2nd Chronicles and you can read the word begat in many, many places. And so begat so and so, and so and so begat so and so. And if you have a hard time going to sleep at night, I recommend those two books. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to get deep in the scriptures, you can study why they did that, and it really opens up an awful lot in the scripture. But the word begat speaks of a point in time. But God is not relegated to time. God created time. Amen. And he sits above time. He sits above matter. He sits above space. Because all of those things are things that God created. He is the Most High, praise God. There is none above him. He is the highest of the highest, and he sits upon his throne. Oh, we serve a mighty God this morning. I don't know about you, but I feel his presence here right now. Amen. And so what he did when he came and manifested himself in this baby child, he was manifesting himself to the world, amen. The one invisible God came and became visible, praise God. He became visible. What an awesome truth here this morning, amen. And he came unto his own. And the Bible says his own received him not, but to those that would receive him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. And there is only one God, and he is the invisible God. Amen. The word in Genesis, and I believe it's Genesis chapter 3, it was the word that made man in the book of Genesis, and that man was named Adam. We all know that this morning. We've got a comprehension of that. And the Word of God created the very first man. And then Scripture tells us that it was the Word of God that made the second man, or the second Adam. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 47. Hope you all stay with me here this morning. Just feel a teaching spirit on me here today. 1 Corinthians 15 and 47. The first man, that would be Adam, is of the earth, earthy. Now think about that. God created man out of the dust of the earth. God drew a figure of a man, and then the scripture says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Praise God. There was a part of the first Adam that was of the earth, earthy. Amen. That's what we struggle with today. Y'all look so good this morning, but I know every one of us struggle with earthy things. Amen. Earthy things that try to infiltrate your mind. Amen. I don't know what it is about our human makeup, but every now and then we get a song that sticks in our mind, and we can't get rid of it for a few days. I've had that for the last couple of days, and it's about to drive me crazy. And I think I know where it originated. I've got some wind chimes in the on the porch, and when they chime, it sounds like the music to that song. And I just keep on singing it and singing it in my mind, and I'm like, stop, please, I'm tired of this song. How many's ever had that happen to you? Well, some of you are so spiritual that never happens to you. But I'm telling you what, we are of the earth, earthy, because we are the descendants of Adam. Amen. Adam and Eve, they are our father and mother. Amen. She is the mother of all living. And so the first man is of the earth, earthy. Would you all like to know what that song is? Maybe I shouldn't say it. But it's that song that goes, Mama's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Now, isn't that crazy? I think I'm losing my mind sometimes. Praise God. But if we asked everybody here this morning, you'd have a weird story like that as well. Except those of you that are real spiritual here this morning. Amen. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Let's move on here. The second man. Everybody said the second man. Yes, he was a man. That's what the scripture says, the second man, or the second Adam. Amen. One was of the earth, and the other, the second man, is the Lord from heaven. Not a Lord from heaven, but the Lord from heaven. Now, we know that it was the Spirit of God in the Old Testament that moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, amen. It was the Spirit of God that parted the waters for the people to come out of Egypt. It was the Spirit of God that came to us in the person of Jesus Christ, amen, who hung on the cross for our sins. And when you get an understanding of the oneness of the Godhead, and that there is only one God, it would do good to study the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This is the greatest scripture in the entire Bible. Scripture tells us that. Jesus affirmed that. And it is called the Shema of Israel, and they will quote that, and they will try to quote that upon their deathbed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. From the very beginning, from Adam through Abraham and all the way to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, these people only believed in one God. Amen. There was not three gods. There was not three co-equal gods. There was only one God. And this one God came down to the world and stepped inside of the clothing of flesh. Amen. He looked just like a man. And in fact, he was not a good-looking man. He was born in a tribe that was the smallest of the tribes of Israel. He was from a town that people said, why can anything good come out of Nazareth? Amen. He humbled himself. God, the Lord God, the only God, came and humbled himself and put on the coat of flesh, put on the garments of flesh. And when he got up out of the boat and he spoke to the winds and the waves and said, peace be still, and they were still, the apostles said, what manner of man is this? Oh, they were getting ready to get a revelation of who he really was. He was God manifest in flesh, God with us. Amen. So the second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. And I believe today, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost this morning. Every person needs the Spirit of God inside of us to give us the power that we would not have on our own. Amen. And everything that we need can be found in one place. Because the Bible tells us, now I'm following some trails here this morning, but the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men. Amen. You hear a lot about mediators today. When one country is fighting another country, then someone will come in and become a mediator. And they will try to make an agreement between the two because the two can't do it on their own. They need a mediator to come and try to resolve the situation. And there's a host of examples of that. I won't go over that this morning. But Jesus Christ was the mediator between God and man. Meaning that there was a conflict between God and me. Amen. There was a conflict between God and all of humanity. And God God, by his very nature, cannot die, but the scripture says that the penalty of sin is death. Amen. And so we have an unreconciled situation here, a situation where there is no hope for us. We have a holy God here, and we have sinful man here. How can that holy God come down and reconcile us to God? It's an impossibility. But God knows everything, praise God. And he had it all figured out from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was that God came down himself. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, in that God laid down his life for us. Praise God. He opened the door to life. Amen. That's why I like the name of our church, New Life Tabernacle, because he came with life, and his life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness. Praise God. Do you remember when the light shined into your heart? Amen. Does anybody remember that day when the light shined in your heart and God said, I want you to serve me? What a glorious day that was. Amen. I still remember it to this very day. And so he came and robed himself in flesh. He went through everything that you and I go through. I was over in Sunday school this morning. One of the little kids was making some noise, and I'm just teasing with him. I'll just say, what's going on in this church? Amen. And one of them, they'll just stop and they'll tell me, oh, we're just goofing off, Pastor, or something along that lines. And one of them looked up at me and was talking through the teeth in the front of the mouth. And there was two teeth missing out of the front. And I said, did you lose some teeth? And he said, yeah, I did. I said, well, how long is it going to take you to get, are you going to get some new ones? He said, yeah. I said, well, how long is it going to take? He said, well, I'm not really sure, but I think it's going to take a long time. Amen. Growing and learning adjusting to all kinds of things. And what you went through and what I went through. I lost teeth when I was a little one, and so did you. We had to learn how to talk. We had to learn our ABCs. We had to learn our mathematics. We had to learn, so many, many different things. And it seemed like it took forever. Amen. From a personal standpoint, seemed like it took forever. I thought that it was going to take forever for my birthday to come around. I thought it was forever that Christmas was going to come around. Anybody else have that same experience? And now you blink your eye and it's already here. Amen. I don't know what it is about that. But those experiences that you and I have had in growing up, God went through those experiences in the man, Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, and he grew in stature. Not that God grew, but he was inside that body that was growing all the way to Calvary. Now, you think about this here this morning. God came and was in the man, Jesus Christ, when he was born in the stable. God was in Christ when they slapped him in the face. They didn't realize that they were slapping the face of God. When they put a crown of thorns upon his head, God felt that pain. Don't tell me that God did not feel that pain. When they nailed him to the cross, God felt the pain of those nails going through the hands and the feet. When they hung him on the cross and they spit upon him, and they gave him vinegar to drink, and all of the experiences that this man went through, God Almighty went through, because Scripture says that God came in the flesh to reconcile us unto himself. Praise God. Isn't it awesome when you begin to think about this truth? It's so very, very awesome. And so when we talk about the Holy Ghost this morning, when we talk about the need for the Holy Ghost, really that's the only place that we need to go. There's no other place to go than the Holy Ghost, than God Almighty. Somebody said amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. These are powerful scriptures. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, everybody said God. Now we're talking about God here. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners or different ways spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds through the word of God, who, being the brightness of his glory, now this is speaking of Jesus Christ now, who being the brightness of his glory, Jesus was the brightness of the glory of God, and the express image of his person. And so Jesus Christ was an exact example and picture of God, of the nature of God, of the person of God. The only thing that was different was that Jesus Christ was visible and that God is invisible. He is the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise God. Jesus was the express image of God Almighty. Amen. When you look at some children, you say he looks like his father. And when you look at Jesus Christ, you could say he's a spitting image of his father. His father could not sin, and he did not sin. His father could perform miracles, and praise God, he performed more miracles than could be recorded. Let's go a little further this morning. Matthew chapter 17, and maybe this will just end up being a one God message here this morning. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Praise God. He was transfigured before them. Three of his closest disciples, the ones that would be the leaders of the New Testament church, he was transfigured before them. And if you please, he unzipped that body of flesh and allowed it to be opened up so that they could see the manifestation of what was inside of him. And it was white as the light, amen, the purest of light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now, if you go to another scripture, and I won't turn there this morning, but if you go to another one, what were they talking about? They were talking about his death. Amen. They were talking about what he was about ready to do. And, of course, they wanted to build a tabernacle there, one for Moses, one for Jesus, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This was the affirmation that this Son of God would be heir of all things. Paul talks about it, and without getting off, and I hope I'm not getting off here this morning. I want it to all flow together. But in the book of Hebrews, and you don't have to turn there this morning, Paul talks about a son who is a servant until the appointed time. And the Bible talks about Jesus as being a son and that he was subjective. He subjected himself and he allowed his parents to tell him what to do and what not to do until the time appointed. And Jesus, as I've said, grew up like you and I. He had to learn how to submit. He had to learn how to say, yes, yes, Father, I'll do that. And lots of opportunities to allow that teenage attitude to come out. I know none of y'all know anything about that. But he had that opportunity, but it never happened because he did not sin. And so this voice was the affirmation, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell this vision or tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Amen. He didn't want them to say anything. This was a big secret here. The devil did not know what was going on. He was ignorant of God's plan. I can prove that to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture here this morning, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world. That would be the devil and his agents that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. This is what we talk about. Amen. This is what we understand as the people of God. And even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If Satan really understood who Jesus Christ was, he would have left him alone, and if there was no Calvary, there would be no church. If there was no Calvary, there would be no outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But Jesus said, don't tell anyone what you've seen or what you've heard until the Son of Man be risen again. Oh, praise God. The glory of Jesus Christ, the wonder of Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness, that God would come down, the godly God, the holy God, would come down and robe himself in that which is of man. It is a mystery how that God could love us so very much. And did you know this morning God loves you that much? He didn't come so we could put up trees and give each other's gifts. And I'm not against that at all. We're going to have a tree and all of that. But I'm telling you what, he came because he so loved the world. Amen. He so loved the world that he gave himself. Amen. And so this is the first understanding of why we need the Holy Ghost in our lives. Amen. And God manifested himself in the incarnation and life of Jesus Christ. Somebody said amen. Thank God for the Word of God this morning. And the scripture that we read in the beginning, John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, or verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Verse 37 says that in that day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost, everybody said the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, he had not died and risen again. And it took that for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon humanity. Well, praise God. And so when we see this truth here, we can understand that Paul writing in the scripture that we read this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, our opening scripture, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And we read that for the text this morning. If you look at the scriptures before that scripture, it is an exhortation of the gifts of the Spirit. And when you look at the gifts of the Spirit, divine healing, miracles, speaking in tongues with interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and all of the gifts of the Spirit, Paul is talking about that it all comes from one Spirit. Everybody said one Spirit. One Spirit. There's only one place that we need to go. There's only one place where we can find an answer, and that's in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We have it this morning, and we can lean on it this morning, and we can have victory through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John 7, 37, we just read that. But Jesus promised that the Holy Ghost would be poured out. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Here is where it is about to happen. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. He's about to ascend into heaven, but he's telling them that something is about to happen that will revolutionize their lives, that will change them. And can I say this morning that if the Holy Ghost can't change us, nothing can change us. If the relationship that we have as apostolic Pentecostal folks, if it is not enough, then we are missing the mark. Amen. It's not that God has fallen short, it is that we have fallen short. Amen. We need to have the Holy Ghost, and we need to let it flow like a river of living water. In our worship services, we need to let it flow like a river of living water. In our personal prayer time, we need to let it flow like a river of living water. As we go through the day, we need to let it flow like a river of living water to wash out anything that is earthy. Amen. Anything that is of the first Adam, our genetic father and mother. Praise God. And so chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. I hope somebody's getting something out of this here this morning. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. He still does it the same way today. There's no difference. Peter got up and he began to preach, and they didn't understand what was going on, but he preached about sin because he was trying to reconcile these people back to God. And we cannot be reconciled to God with sin. Amen. Sins always separate us from God. And he began to preach in verse 36 of chapter 2. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Praise God. Verse 37, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Praise God. Amen. Somebody say this morning, "What shall I do?" I'm glad you asked that question. I want to answer that question this morning. "Then Peter said unto them," in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you here in just a moment why we need the Holy Ghost. "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Praise God. And so what Peter was essentially doing here, he was preaching the gospel. Amen. And Paul writes about the gospel, and he says we are saved by the gospel when we obey the gospel. Well, how can we obey something that on its surface just looks like a statement of fact? The gospel. Amen. We all know what the gospel is, right? You all know what it is? It is that Jesus died. Everybody said death. Jesus was buried. Everybody said buried. And he rose again. Everybody said he rose again. That is the essence of the gospel. And it is exactly what the Apostle Peter was preaching here. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We've got to be reconciled back to God. We need God, but we can't get to God on our own. If we pay the penalty for our sins, we are going to have to die. But thank God we don't have to die. He died in our place. Amen. He said unto them, "Repent." All right? You can keep your finger there and come with me to Romans chapter 6, and I want to just share this with you before I finish here this morning. Time is going by so quickly. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Paul is talking about the essence of the gospel here, and he says in verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man," or our old lifestyle, the Adamic nature that is in each of us, "our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth," or hereafter, "we should not serve sin." Amen. That our old man is crucified with him. And so the gospel is that Jesus died. And our obedience to the gospel is that we must die. Not physically, but spiritually. And really, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 is a beautiful definition of repentance. Where the old man dies. You know, in our generation today, they have drive-in churches, drive-in theater churches, and the way to get saved is to flash your lights off and on. Amen. One such drive-in theater church, the man got through with his message and said, if anyone wants to be saved, flip your lights off and on and you'll be saved. Well, I'm telling you, it takes a little bit more than that, than just to turn your headlights off and on to be saved. Amen. Repentance is not a pretty place to be. It's when we go to the altar and we are crucified with him. When he was crucified, they slapped him in the face and he submitted himself. When he was crucified, of course, they nailed him to the cross. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They beat his back with 40 stripes. It was horrible. Scripture says that he did not even look like a man. He was so beaten and so bloodied and torn open. And it was a horrible scene. The scripture says that he did not even look like a man. He was just a mass of flesh and blood that nobody really wanted to look at all. It was gross in the greatest sense of the word. And when we come to God, we have to look at our sins in reality and understand that they look just like that. In the eyes of God, they're beaten and bloodied. We don't even really look like a man. Somebody said one time that in the garden, Adam was made in the image of God, and when they sinned, they were in the image of a man, and man has gone so far away from God that now he is as the image of the devil. Amen. We came from God-like to devil-like because of our sins. Amen. And so when we come to the altar, and can I say this morning? I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. But can I say this morning that we need to find that place of crucifixion over and over again? Did you know the place of victory is the altar? It's not fancy music. It's not smoke coming off the altar by a smoke machine. It's not a light ball and it's not the colors on the walls and all of the different things that they use nowadays to get people excited. I'm telling you what, if you don't get excited about the cross, you're not going to get excited about anything important. If all you're interested in, praise God, if all you're interested in is a fancy sermon or something that will excite your flesh, you will not serve God. Amen. We must go to an altar of repentance, genuine repentance. And so Peter said, repent. And then he said in Acts 2:38, he said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, if you're there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 4, this is very important this morning. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Praise God. And so the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We must die with him. And then the scripture says here that we are buried with him. When Jesus died, the next step was to bury him. And it was a beautiful picture of what God wants to do with your sin and my sin. He wants to bury it. Praise God. He wants to put it under the water like he put the Egyptians' army under the water. He wants to put your sins down in the water which is a picture of washing. He said, but we must repent and be baptized or be buried with him by baptism. And when we are baptized, Peter said to be baptized here in verse 38, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said in the name. In the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You say, does it really matter? Yes, it really matters this morning. It matters because when we are baptized in titles, it does not have an effect. Amen. When Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, he was literally telling us how to baptize or how to be baptized, because the name of the Father is not Father. The name of the Son is not Son. The name of the Holy Ghost is not Holy Ghost. Many, many have this confused in Scripture, but there is a name, Acts 1 and verse 8. Neither is there salvation in it, or Acts, What's the verse? 4 and 12, praise God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Thanks for saving me there. That was ad lib. Amen. Sometimes you get yourself in trouble that way. Well, praise the Lord. And so when we are baptized in the name. Singular. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is a title, but there is a name that is represented by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. There's only one name. We must be baptized in his name for the remission of sins. Amen. For the remission of sins. We need our sins to be washed away. And that's why we obey the gospel and we are buried with him by baptism. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 6. Now, after we are dead and we are buried, then there has to be a resurrection. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, praise God. That's the essence of the gospel this morning. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Somebody here this morning doesn't have the peace that they need. Amen. I'm telling you, it's in the Holy Ghost. We must repent. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive it like they did in the Bible, not by someone's explanation, but scripturally, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we will begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead. You know, when Christ was raised from the dead, Sister Reed, would you come this morning? When he was raised from the dead, folks weren't sitting around like we're sitting around here this morning. The Roman soldiers that were probably used to fighting, warriors, tough individuals, they fell on their faces as though they were dead. And when the women and when the apostles discovered that he had risen again, there was such a thrill and such an excitement and exuberance and joy and peace that came to their hearts. They revolutionized their then known world. And for someone to come along and say, here's how to get saved, repeat after me. I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. That's good. You know what that really is? In the truest, purest sense of the word, that is repentance. But we've got to do more than just die. Amen. There has to be a conversion in our life. There has to be a time when our life is revolutionized, where it is changed, where something miraculous takes place within our spirit, and we can say, God has touched my life. Did you know it's not the will of God that we live our lives in fear? Not the will of God that we live our life in depression. It's not the will of God that we live our life in all the works of the flesh, but it's the will of God that we be free people. Free, amen, free from the power of sin, that we would not serve sin. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. God bless you. Thank you for indulging me here this morning. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and let's love Him together right now. Can we do that? Somebody lift your hand and lift your voice this morning. Let's thank God for His word today. Jesus, I love you. I'm thankful for the truth of the word of God. I'm thankful, Lord, that there's just one place to go, and that's you. Let the rivers of living water flow in my life. Let it flow in the lives of the people this morning. Let it flow in the church. Touch us this morning. Lay your hand upon us this morning. Open the windows of heaven upon your people. Baptize us, Lord. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Touch us this morning. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your voice one more time. Come on, let's ask God to let the word get into everyone's heart this morning. We need you, Father. We need your presence. God, we need your touch this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanks?